WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Valor Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are.
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Soaking up the moon, can't sleep. It's 5 a.m. my time again. I'm calling and you know it's me. I'm pushing myself further. I'm just trying to feel my heartbeat.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, we can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out in chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. It's WrestleMania time.
Woo!
Which means we get to talk all things WrestleMania. 13 matches, chat. 13 matches across two nights. The biggest WrestleMania of all time. It's happening.
WrestleMania
40 minutes away. And $1,000 too expensive. So, anyway, that's where we're at. It's kind of a thing.
You know what? Rock is going to have the best seat in the house because he's going to be in the comfort of his own home.
Yes.
That's how we're looking at it.
That's how we're looking at it, yes.
But yes, we are just doing WrestleMania. We are not talking any news. We are not talking anything else. Although I do want to add one thing really quickly. If you have not watched the Bray Wyatt documentary that they released on April 1st and you're curious about it, please go watch it. It's really, 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 really well done. It's very good. Bring Kleenex. Just bring Kleenex. But yeah, it's really good. So go check it out. Bravo to everybody who was involved with it because it was amazing.
It's really good. It is really good. I finished it last night. It's really good.
It's fantastic.
The last 20 minutes are kind of difficult to get through, but...
That's why I say bring... I just want to hug the like that whole family, but especially Taylor Rotunda. Dear Lord, that poor man. Yeah, he had such a hard time getting through that. And also, I'm just going to say this. Mark loved that boy. Mark loved him. Like, that was, I think that was like his adopted son right there. Because like the whole thing in the with him doing the Jack is like, oh, you love that child, didn't you? It's like, okay, all right, cool. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with the fact that Taker adopted them. So with that, let's get into WrestleMania. We're just going to start with how we have it in the sheet and work our way down.
That's the plan.
So opening our discussion of WrestleMania is the LWO Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee taking on Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio. Now, this has led to some dissension in the Judgment Day, because the Judgment Day, you're not happy that Dominic is flirting with Santos and that, you know, that whole crew was hanging out in their locker room and there were just kind of problems.
And Carlito's kind of not happy that Dragon Lee is in the match at WrestleMania, not him.
Yeah, Carlito has a mad. It's not cool.
I wouldn't say mad. I think he has a confused. I think we're at the confused stage of it.
Yes, but confusion can quickly grow to anger.
And that's kind of what people are thinking about come this weekend, is does confusion cost the LWO? Does Carlito decide, hey, I came back to be a part of this, but why am I not featured? And it seems like Dragon Lee, over the last few months in situations, has always been the one to replace Carlito, who's only been back, I don't know, when he came back around the end of the summer, something like that, early fall.
SummerSlam, somewhere in there, yeah. Maybe Survivor Series.
It wasn't Survivor Series because, you know, other voices in your head that talked to you and of the voiceless showed up back then. But he hasn't been back that long, but every time it's been Carlito gets hurt, Dragon Lee is the one stepping in. Now, Dragon Lee is an official member of the group, so it's something where it's like, does Carlito kind of not fit in the plans? So, to me, overall, bringing Carlito back, it was cool, but I don't know if it's added anything to the act in general. I think he was a great special addition at Backlash, and having him on the roster is fine, but I think, I don't know where his place sits. So him kind of being, I don't know, confused about his role makes a lot of sense in terms of the group standing, but I think overall, I'm not sure what his place on the show is at this stage of the game. That said about the match, it's interesting because you would think it's about Rey Mysterio passing the torch to Santos and in some manner his son Dominic on the big stage and kind of put him over and go forward as, you know, here's the new faces of the Lucha Libre, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then there's Dragon Lee.
There is Dragon Lee.
Who's also going to be the future of Lucha Libre in WWE style in WWE. So it's like, that's why in general Carlito would have worked, because you could have had him as the fall guy and everything would have worked. In terms of like a story, Santos and Dominic kind of take over the Lucha style stuff, and Rey can sort of be just Rey in the background. Also, when you think Rey loses at WrestleMania, he ends up winning at WrestleMania most times. So it's kind of like, do they stick in the let's push Rey direction, let's push Dragon Lee direction, or are we actually going to go forward with Santos? To me, it's WrestleMania. I'm feeling like Rey and Dragon Lee come out on top in this one. I feel like it's just, I don't know, something they would do. I don't, because Dom won last year at Mania. No, Rey won last year at Mania. I don't think Dom needs it. Dom doesn't need the win, because I don't know what they're doing with Dom.
But Santos does. That's the thing. Santos needs it more than Dominic does.
If you look at it that way, yes. But Lee needs it, though. I think Dragon Lee needs a win, because it depends on who you're booking. Like, where are they fitting? Is Santos in line for what type of push? What type of push is Dragon Lee in store for over the next few months? It's weird. I don't know. My money's on Mysterio and Dragon Lee to win this one. If it was Backlash, I would lean more towards like a Santos and Dominic to win. But it's WrestleMania. Good guys more likely prevail at WrestleMania. I'm sticking with my gut there, Rey and Dragon Lee on this one.
See, mine's going in the opposite direction. I can picture Santos and Dominic picking up the win, especially since Rey won last year. And this is, I feel like they're maybe beginning to shift Dominic a little bit in a different direction. Like, I think the Judgment Day still has legs. I think it's going to be around for a minute, but they're setting up future plans with Dominic and Santos, where they're kind of sort of forming that affiliation. And it could either be a feud for Judgment Day, or it could be Dominic goes over to Santos and starts being in Santos's group. I can talk about that later because I have another idea for that. But we'll see. But I just... To me, Dominic doesn't necessarily need the win, but it wouldn't hurt him to get it, if that makes sense. Just to sort of keep his stock high, help boost Santos, raise him up, so, and just give them a nice WrestleMania moment. So I'm going with Santos and Dominic.
Okay, so with that, 8-Ball, does Ray and Dragon Lee win? You may rely on it. Magical Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 2.
Which is on our sheet, Santos, and Dominic.
Wrestler 3. I'm going to get a Wrestler 3 tonight. God damn it.
Anyway.
So up next, we have the feud of, I guess, feuds. LA Knight, yeah, taking on AJ Styles, and I guess a grudge match?
Yeah. So it was what, Royal Rumble? They were in the title match together?
Mm-hmm.
So there was issues there. Then it was Elimination Chamber. AJ cost LA Knight the match. And since that point, LA Knight's been trying to get his hands on AJ Styles. AJ Styles has refused to show up to work after attacking him. LA Knight back in Australia. So he flew all the way there to do the attack.
That's commitment.
But then not show up for work here in the States with this is a shorter flight. So LA Knight went to his home. They had a brawl in his front yard. AJ then finally showed up to work. LA Knight then would attack him. And now here we are. Yeah. So it is in fact a grudge match. I'm surprised there is no like stip, kind of a little stip to this one. But again, we have other matches that have a stip on it. So you can't completely overload a show with stips, especially if it's all the same one. AJ is supposed to have new music in this one to fit his new persona. The darker side, which, ooh, you know, we all saw in TNA what that was.
We're getting emo AJ. Awesome.
Pretty much. It's kind of the darker side of AJ Styles.
Well, I mean, he has the hair for it.
So, we'll see. Terms, like, then there's the rise of LA Knight. Some people think he's cooled off a little bit, and I would agree he has cooled off. Because you can't go into, like... a world title match, not win, and then think you're going to be like, I know what I was going to get to. Anyone going into a world title match and then losing will kind of, you know, drop down a peg or two. And he's lost two world title matches. So it's like he's cooled off, but now he's going to be in front of the fans here in Philly, which I'm not going to, cause it's way too expensive. So there's that. And yeah, I don't know. I feel, to me, I think LA Knight should win, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I also kind of like the idea of AJ winning and kind of putting a fire back under LA Knight and kind of him looking for revenge in some manner. So it's like, huh. I'm a little torn. I know the winner, but it's like, I could also see darker AJ kind of getting a cheap victory, which then would piss off the internet, which is always fun. But yeah, what are your thoughts?
I don't know who to root for. I honestly don't know. Do I root for the guy that rolled up to the dude's house and had a brawl in his front yard, which is perfectly acceptable in Georgia? Or do I root for the guy that flew across the world quite literally to attack somebody else and beat the shit out of him in a foreign country and then just not come to work? I don't know. I don't know who to pick. I really don't. I would agree that both Knight and Styles have respectively cooled off. AJ's going in a different direction. To me, it feels like LA Knight's just a little lost, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because they're just, like you said, he went in the title match, he was really hot, they had him lose, and then he's just kind of sort of, to me, just been there. He's been present, but he hasn't really been doing much. Or you haven't been hearing of him much.
Because he's been kind of in a non-wrestling capacity feud with AJ Styles, because AJ has been on the show, so it's like, he hasn't been picking up much momentum in terms of that. Everything he's been in lately, he's been on the losing end. And because it's SmackDown and it's been kind of focused on the final boss, mm-hmm. other people are getting lost in the shuffle in terms of TV time, where their angles are not getting like 20 minutes, they're getting 5 minutes. And because you only got 2 hours on SmackDown. If LA Knight was on Raw, I think his momentum would have been better overall, because there's time and space to do everything. And again, on SmackDown, there's not a lot of roster depth on SmackDown.
Yeah.
That you're kind of where you're at is where you're at. Like, if your main event, you're like, and semi main event, that's where you're at. There's no one. Because you got 2 hours, so you don't have as much top talent or undercard talent compared to the top talent. Long way of saying I'm going LA Knight.
I'm going to go with AJ Styles. I say he cheats to win. Lights that fire up under LA Knight, because this is obviously going to be the start of the feud. The final boss is likely to go away or not be as featured after WrestleMania. So you will need something to begin to fill that void. You can heat AJ and LA Knight up, and you can have them go from there and kind of lead into the summer.
Yeah, you're going to be missing a final boss and the head of a table after WrestleMania. So
yeah.
Because the final boss is going to do Moana and an MMA movie. So he's not going to be available for a few months. So there is like all of that. There is all that. But Magic 8-Ball, does AJ Styles win? Yes, according to 8-Ball Wheel, Magical Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 2.
It's AJ, I believe.
Oh, shit, I'm fucked. It's AJ.
Okay.
I'm doomed.
You've been doomed by the inanimate objects.
Oh, God.
Doomed.
Doomed. All right. Is the battle of the yeet versus the no yeet, much like the ooh-woo versus the no ooh-woo. Go ooh-woo. Anyway, Jey Uso taking on Jimmy Uso. No stipulation on this, which is interesting. You just had to throw that out there, didn't you?
Yeah.
This has been really good. This is bringing up past history of Jey's exit from the bloodline, of Jimmy staying in the bloodline, the feud between the two, and the unresolved issues between the two. I expect this to be absolutely fantastic, as their other matches have been. I honestly don't know who to pick, because I feel like Jimmy needs it more, but I don't know, because like, it all depends on what happens with the bloodline at WrestleMania, right? And Jimmy's probably going to be one of the first ones to show up and have his match. And we don't know what's going to happen from there. If he loses, is he out of the bloodline? Like, what happens with it? But honestly, in my heart, no offense to Jimmy, I want Jey to win. I want Jey to get that big moment. I want them to basically put him over as main event, single star Jey Uso. He gets this WrestleMania moment. He wins. He's vindicated in like the finale between the two. And then we go from there, because I don't know what to do with them after that.
I'm kind of disappointed in the feud. I want it more, like from a verbal standpoint. I feel like we missed something. And then maybe it's too hard to have like this verbal lashing and blood feud, because there's really... You had one promo, but like it really wasn't gripping enough to like sell it fully. And I feel like we needed one more promo to sort of grip the feud, to have it really be meaningful. And I feel like it's just missing that just a little.
I can second that. I think the issue with that is that you would have to go to Jimmy saying, well, you betrayed the family. You betrayed me. You betrayed the family. And then Jey can fire back and be like, no, the family betrayed me. The family basically screwed me over, and so did you. And then you bring up all that past, and I just don't know if they want to bring that all up again. Because it's not necessarily on Jimmy that all of it happened to Jey. It's more on Roman. Jimmy was certainly a participant in it. They had Jey cut a promo talking about his time in the bloodline and Jimmy and all of that. And there was a little inconsistency, because he's like, it took me a while to see it. It took me a while to realize, you know, what was really going on. And it's like, well, but that's not how at least I remember the story being told. But if that's the story they want to tell, that's fine. Because as we all remember, and I will beat this into the ground, Jey Uso was forced to join the bloodline with Roman Reigns. And then Jimmy came along and Jimmy tried to help and save his brother. And Jimmy ended up losing and being sort of half forced, half willingly joining the bloodline with Roman. And then when they got titles and they got gold and they got money and they got power, that whole force issue got sort of dropped, because it's like, hey, everything's on top, everything's good, we're all happy, so we don't have to worry about it, right? We're just going to forget those issues that we had before. And then things started to go wrong and Roman became verbally and physically abusive to Jey, and to Jimmy to some extent as well, and those issues kind of surfaced and went away and surfaced and went away until they finally exploded in what we see now. So I would agree that the verbal stuff's been lacking, but I don't know how you write it where you focus it just on Jimmy and Jay and not have Roman come into it.
Yeah, I get that part. I just feel like there's one thing like you kind of need in a blood feud is like, I don't want to call it a blood feud, but in a personal feud, like you need that one promo to grip you into the full story. And I feel like it missed. Like the one they did was good, but I want to hear like a passionate promo from Jimmy and a passionate promo from Jay, just sort of like what it means to fight their each other, because they're brothers, and what it means to finally be on that stage. And like you could do it, like it doesn't have to be like a smack talking promo, but it just has to be like, could have done a sit down with both guys and kind of like, hey, so tell me about what it means fighting your brother, and sort of get the personal connection, like rip at the heart, going like, okay, now I see why they really want to get each other. And I know that's not their strong suits, maybe, so that's probably why they avoided doing that. To me, the setup is missed something overall, but the match hopefully will be really good. This could, because I have a feeling it can go two ways. I have a feeling it could be really bad or really good. By really bad, they're brothers and they wrestle too similar, and it could just be like too similar of a collision that just doesn't grip you. I'm hoping it doesn't go that way, because we've seen it with the Hardy Boys. They fought, but it wasn't like a fight. You were like, it missed something. They missed the boat. I hope they don't miss the boat here. I hope they deliver, and they could have a really fantastic match. But it's Jay winning. Jimmy doesn't need to win because Jimmy's not being pushed as a solo star. Jay is.
Yeah.
Jimmy's a lackey. Kind of where we're at. So I'm going Jay.
I'm going Jay. So what do the inanimate objects say?
8-ball Jimmy? It is certain.
Oh.
Says this is the 8-ball wheel.
Wrestler 1.
Jay?
Yes, Jay.
There you go.
All right. They're split. So up next, we have the debut of Jade Cargill at WrestleMania. She's joined with Bianca and Naomi, and they are taking on Damage Control.
When you say something could be a squash match, it could be this one. And that's no offense to Dakota, Kyrie, or Asuka, but it's Bianca, Naomi, and Jade.
You need to make Jade look really strong.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm looking at it. It's like, that's such a powerhouse trio. I know Damage Girl has the tag titles, yes. I know they're a better cohesive unit, but you look at the power on the other side, and then you look at Damage Control, and they are the underdogs.
They are.
Even though they have every right not to be the underdog in this one.
From a physical standpoint, you look at one side and you look at the other, and it's very unbalanced. And
very.
Bianca and Jade on their own, no offense to Naomi, but Bianca and Jade on their own could whoop the shit out of Damage Control. Naomi is just a bonus at this point, because she can come in and she can help them do it. But we all saw what Jade did in the Rumble. We all know what Bianca can do. Like, from a physicality standpoint, the three of them should just walk in and decimate Damage Control. And you know what? You have them stand there, and they pick up the tag titles, and they hold up the tag titles at the end.
And it's like, go ahead.
These are ours now, or we were coming for these.
Yeah, I think that's where we're going. With Bianca, with any combination of the three, I think it would be. Someone made the point: you don't put Naomi in a tag team. Because the last time they put her in a tag team for the tag titles, it's the reason she left. So, you know, there's that. I think you really could have something with Bianca and Jade as a tag team.
Yeah.
Into the summer. What you need to do is quickly find some real challenges out there for them. Repush Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. Get Natty and Tegan up to speed. They outmanage the KCs, but get them back on a run. Shayna and Zoe could be a really good matchup for them. And sort of let them cook over the summer and kind of let them figure it out and kind of build a division. And then once people are comfortable and have legs underneath them and you kind of get some legs into the act, then Ego can get involved from Jade, and Jade could turn on, say, Bianca and kind of push that into a direction, because coming out of WrestleMania, you're going to have a lot of focus on the women's title, but it shouldn't involve Jade or Bianca at this point because that's too early, especially since Bianca and Bayley, spoiler, who I think is going to win the other match. We've already been there, done that in the process of it. And because Bayley's going to be the babyface, you need heels, and Damage Control has more of the heel tones to it. So eventually you could turn Jade into the heel, kind of go from there. But you have time to build to that, especially if she pays off.
Yeah.
But working with Bianca would be a good stepping stone in getting her comfortable.
Putting her with Bianca and Naomi, two very seasoned, experienced hands at this point, especially Naomi, is an absolutely smart call because Jade is coming into this. Jade's a little bit greener. She's been down at the PC. She's been training and nobody really knows what she can do yet. But they're confident enough to put her on TV. So I would say that she has improved enough where everything is okay. But you just have Bianca and Naomi there to really sort of help her, to sort of carry her in the beginning, to get her comfortable, to get her set. And that's really, really, really smart because what you can do is you can sort of cover some of Jade's missteps in the beginning if she has any. And I'm not saying she's going to have them, but she, like I said, she's a little bit greener. This is a new place. This is a new stage. We saw some flaws at the Royal Rumble. Not everything went completely smoothly. So you can have Bianca and Naomi sort of work with her and iron those out, and she can be on the road and she can be traveling and she can be working, because that's going to be the biggest benefit for her is just she keeps working. She keeps doing matches and she keeps training. And with every outing, she gets a little bit better. But I think the million-dollar question in this match is what can Jade really do? Because nobody's seen her work yet outside of AEW. Nobody's seen her work, let me correct that, since she came to WWE.
You haven't seen her, haven't seen the improvement she's made since the jump.
Yeah, it's like I said, she's been training. They did not put her through the NXT system fully. She's just been at the PC training. Now they're bringing her up to the main roster. I think there's a lot of curiosity around what she can do.
She's been with Natty, I think, too, at her dungeon thing.
Yeah, she's been working with Natty as well. Like they've been putting in the effort with her to get her ready to go. I feel like if they're smart, they just let her have some. They let her work. They let her kind of tease what she can do. They let her have some big moments. But ultimately, you kind of have Bianca and Naomi carry this match a little bit.
Yeah, Jade's not going to sell. You don't need her to sell. You need her to come in, do big flashy moves, and kind of put eyes on it at this stage. My only struggle with this match is I hope Asuka's okay. She's coming in banged up. She didn't look like she was moving that great, but hopefully she's better and she's full to go at WrestleMania. But yeah, I think Bianca, Jade, and Naomi win. It's a showcase match, and that's what it should be. The fact that Dakota made it back for this is a big, big, huge thing. Because she got injured right after WrestleMania. So her being back in the fold, in a spotlighted match on WrestleMania. And let's remember, the reason why Bianca as a team's going to win, they're building her as Miss WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
She needs to win to keep that going. Because I think that keeps her undefeated at WrestleMania. So streaks and, you know how they work.
Bianca going to get a streak?
Now they work at WrestleMania. I'm just saying. Anyway, I'm going Team Bianca.
With this being Jade's debut and her being hyped up as an extremely big deal, I have to pick Team Bianca, Team Jade, and Team Naomi. Like, no offense to Damage Control, but I can't see them putting a loss on Jade right out of the gate because that will just kill her momentum directly. And they will have a very hard time recovering it. Just based on everything that they've been doing, I have to put my money on them. I have to. So team Bianca.
8-Ball, does Damage Control win? 8-Ball goes with Damage Control. Wheel.
Wrestler 2.
Damage Control.
Okay. All right. So up next, we have the Tag Team Championship ladder match, where Judgment Day is taking on DIY, taking on Awesome Truth, taking on A-Town Down Under, taking on New Catch Republic, taking on the New Day.
So there's something about this match that kind of came out the other night where it's like, oh, to win this match, you have to pull down both sets of championships, which makes you wonder, and I think this is on purpose, will they split the belts at WrestleMania? To me, having that as an option is interesting, but also can be very anticlimactic for a win.
I would agree with that.
The way it's anticlimactic is if the match continues on. Like, hey, we pulled down the red belts, so we're just leaving. I think that kind of just kills the momentum of the match. So ultimately, you either have a scenario where the belts are being pulled down simultaneously and one team gets one set and the other team gets the other. And that's a climactic ending that has a satisfying finish, even if it's a disputed finish. Because climactic and disputed are two different things. You can have a disputed finish even with a climactic ending. And I think that would serve as the better way to do it. Do I think they're ultimately splitting the tag titles? No. Here? No. But I can see why people would think it. And I think them kind of phrasing it the way they did, put out the speculation and tease it a little bit. So maybe people will just be disappointed if there's only, they don't do it. I also have a hard time, and I'm trying to figure out how they go about this. Judgment Day has been red hot for the last year, and they've held the belts off and on over the last 9 months. They dropped it once for like a couple weeks to Cody and Jay, but then ultimately won it back a couple weeks later on Monday Night Raw. I feel like they've had their run. I think it's time to switch up the belts. So you look at the teams in this one, and you look at people who could use an opportunity, like New Catch Republic. If SmackDown had its own belts, they would be the perfect candidates because they would be a great tag team to just sort of run with the ball and go from there. I think when you look at something like Awesome Truth, if this was a one-on-one match, I would 100% go Awesome Truth beats Judgment Day just because it would give you the ending of the feud that they've been building, which has been lately one-sided Judgment Day, and they've kind of backed off the whole R-Truth thing in terms of them seriously pushing the act, especially of Awesome Truth, because they went with the direction of putting six tag teams in here instead of just a one-on-one tag team match. What would that said, if Awesome Truth won, this would be R-Truth's big WrestleMania win, because he hasn't had one yet. So this would be a, hey, thank you for your service, here's a big win on WrestleMania, crowd would go nuts. But I could also see, when you look at those teams, A-Town Down Under. I look at them and go, man, if they're really serious about keeping them together, putting the tag belts on them, and having them be snarky on SmackDown, and snarky, and being able to come to Raw and be snarky for a few weeks, like, to me, they fit the mold for what you want as a transitional tag team. Because you don't need another tag team to hold the belt for 6-8 months. You need kind of that team to bridge the gap to whoever's next. An A-Town Down Under, I could really get behind that idea of doing it. And then there's DIY, who everyone would love to see get a big WrestleMania win. I'm in that boat. And then there's New Day. I don't think New Day's going to win this one. They're here star power. But I think right now New Day's here to elevate rather than once again be your WWE tag team champions. That's my feelings. I think this is a A-Town Down Under, New Catch Republic match, I think, at the end of the day. But that's just me.
I think we have reached the stage in the tag division where they can comfortably split the titles and have enough competition on both shows to where it justifies having a title. As we all know, the titles were originally unified because the Usos had gone through everybody and there was no one left for them to fight. So they they unified the titles and they rebuilt the tag division. And now here we are with a 6-team tag match on WrestleMania for the titles, where they can either remain unified or split. It's interesting, like you said, that you have to grab both sets of titles to win. And the way I can almost see this going is you have two teams at the top of the ladder. They're fighting over the titles and one team grabs one set, one team grabs another set, and then it's over.
Yeah.
But you could do it where a Raw team wins a SmackDown title and a SmackDown team wins a Raw title, and then they have to leave and they have to switch shows. And now it's like, what do we do with this?
Also, if they split the belts, this would, you ultimately would end the name calling of the belts and kind of let be like, hey, we got WWE Tag Team Champions, we got World Tag Team Champions, and just sort of nix the SmackDown and Raw names at this stage of the game. Get new straps. I think that's where, if they were to split them, that's ultimately what you do.
Yeah, and I think that's where they're going with it. Because they haven't redone the tag titles in a while, right?
No, we went from pennies to dimes, so it's been a while. It's
been a minute. So yeah, so here's the chance to rebrand those titles. I would say you could keep the colored straps, but maybe have one be white and one be black, or do something else. Get rid of the red and the blue, so that way, you know, when draft time comes around, they're interchangeable, because that's important. You don't have any just awkward switches like what we had before.
Yeah, that's kind of the point.
But I can honestly see them giving it to A-Town Down Under, have them be the heel tag team on SmackDown, and then honestly, I can see it going to DIY on Raw. I love Awesome Truth. I love that team. I don't know what they're planning to do, especially considering that Miz has a lot going on in his personal life right now. Like, I know it's kind of resolving itself, but he may have to be in and out depending on what's going on there. And out of all the names on here, as much as I love New Catch Republic and I want them to win, because I do want them to win, because I think I picked them holding the tag titles at the end of the year for one show. I don't know which one. I really want to see DIY get their moment. And I can see them saying, you know, giving A-Town Down Under the run with the titles, just because they would do a fabulous job with it. And who doesn't love to punch Grayson Waller in the face? I mean, come on, it's fun. Yeah. So yeah, I'm going DIY and A-Town Down Under for a split in the titles.
I'm just going to go A-Town Down Under, one pick, and we'll go from there. Magic 8-Ball, does Judgment Day retain? Most likely on the retain. Wheel of Fun.
Mm.
The Judgment Day.
Ooh, they're jinxed.
And there you go. All right, chat. Did you know if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming, you can support the show by clicking the purple rectangular button directly below the screen. Ding.
Ding. Anyway. So moving on, we have Gunther versus Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental Championship. Your longest reigning IC title holder ever rolls into WrestleMania for the second year in a row with the title. He's been absolutely dominant. This feud has been amazing. Poor Chad Gable has gotten his butt whooped a couple times because of this feud, but he's been trying to help Sami Zayn out. Will that play a factor into this match where potentially Gable costs Sammy? Will Imperium get involved? Who knows? But I expect this to be a great, great match.
Mentioned a few weeks ago, I could see this being the shortest match in WrestleMania just because of the underdog story that they're trying to build, and there's a lot that can be done with it and stuff. That said, I feel like it's going to be a regular match. A really good regular match. Last year, they mentioned, and they talked about it on TV, last year it was like, Sami Zayn was the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone wanted Sami Zayn. You go in this year, he's cooled off a little. He's still over, he's still Sami Zayn. But he's cooled off because, let's be real, he there was nothing bigger than what he was doing last year, so you're bound to cool off. And he's the complete underdog against Gunther, who's 600 plus days as Intercontinental Champion, the longest reigning. We thought last year at WrestleMania, after 300 and something days, Gunther's reign would have ended, and he would have moved on to a world championship of some sort. A full calendar year has passed since then. Are we getting closer to Gunther in a world title situation? Well, he's got to drop this belt first. Him losing here would be a big to-do, a big deal, and it'll be an easy way to set him on course for what's next. However, if Seth Rollins is losing this world championship on night two of WrestleMania to a Drew McIntyre, and Drew McIntyre has a current direction as a heel, Gunther has no place to kind of go once losing the Intercontinental title, because the champion's a heel and Gunther is a clear heel. So that's where I struggle with this championship reign ending at WrestleMania. Because I'm looking and going, well, Gunther's really good for Cody, but Cody's probably going to SmackDown. Gunther's not going to SmackDown to fight Cody. Because I don't know when they're doing a draft, and I think the draft's probably later in the year. So I'm looking at the landscape going, well, here's what they can do. Here's what they can't do. Would Sami win? Is it huge? Yes. Is it bigger, though, than what he did last year? In terms of history, yes. In terms of popularity, no. Last year was the bigger, would be the bigger moment for him. And in a weekend full of big moments that are going to happen, I think the Intercontinental title reign ending would kind of get lost in the shuffle just a little bit, especially if you're changing two world championships and you're finishing a story. Gunther's reign would be third in that line, maybe even fourth in terms of big moments that weekend. I don't know, like, it feels like the stage is right, but everything that's built around it isn't. I'm going Gunther retains.
I have four words for you.
Hmm.
Money in the bank. It's coming. You need to begin to define the field for Money in the Bank. And honestly, Sami or Gunther would be a very good choice for that match. Potentially both. My issue with Gunther...
I don't know. He doesn't seem like a cash-in guy, though. He's a more call-your-shot guy.
Well, he could call his shots. People have done it before.
Yeah.
When they had Cena win it, he called a shot.
And lost,
but he still got a shot.
RVD called a shot and won, but anyway.
But anyway, the problem with Gunther and a 600-plus title reign, or however long it's actually been, is you stagnate. And he's kind of reaching that point where he's stagnating. And he's still interesting. He's still cool. He's still all those things. But at some point, you need to move him on. At some point, you need to find competition. You need to refresh the division. Because he's pretty much gone through everybody he can go through for the IC title. And it's just not necessarily interesting. And that's what you can say for a lot of the champions in WWE right now. We have a lot of really long sitting champions, which is great for stability, but at some point the title has to move, and at some point you have to move that person on. And with Gunther, I feel like it's time for him to move on. And the real easy way to solve the problem with Gunther is you can put money in the bank on him. And you can have him go for either world champion, where it's, look, I'm calling my shot. I want you at this show. Show up, bring your title, because it's going to be mine. And then you go from there, however you want to build that feud. The other side of that is Sami Zayn can win Money in the Bank. My concern with Sami is he was really hot last year, and they kind of paid him off with the tag titles, and he and Kevin had that wonderful moment last year. But with Sami, I feel like he needs to have the big moment on his own, if that makes sense. Like, he needs to get the big win without Kevin or someone else there to help him, because he's always the ultimate underdog and he's always really good at telling that story. But the problem is when he's on his own, they don't really ever pay it off fully. He usually needs someone else like Kevin or another partner to help him get there. So I could see, and you could have that again here with Gable, absolutely, where Gable runs out, he runs distraction on Imperium, and he helps Sami win the title, but ultimately Sami could do it on his own. And that's kind of what I want to see. I just really want to see them move some of the long-standing titles, like Gunther's title, where Sami upsets him and wins. Now, Gunther could walk out and kick Sami in the face, and 1, 2, 3, he's done. But you could also have Sami outsmart Gunther, because that's the other side of this, is it's kind of like Roman. Gunther's not going to be outdone physically. He has to be outsmarted. And that's where Sami's strength lies.
Oh, I agree. And I'm with you. It should end. Like, Gunther's reign should end. I'm just looking bigger picture and going, you could wait another month and pay it off somewhere else, just because it would be the bigger moment somewhere else. In terms of, like, noteworthy moments. Because Cody winning is going to be the biggest moment they're going to talk about. Sami also won. It's cool. But Cody finished the story. Like, that's where my brain is. That's why I think Gunther retains. And I think more people think like you're thinking, that the title reign needs to end, and that becomes too predictable. And I think there'll be at least a couple matches where you go, wait, that was the predictable thing didn't happen. And I think this is one of them, where I think people are banking on Gunther finally moving on, but he comes out and still retains.
I'm going with Sami Zayn.
Okay, I'm going Gunther. I'm going Gunther. 8-Ball, Sami Zayn. Very doubtful. Wheel.
Wrestler 2.
That's Sami Zayn. So it's split.
It's split. We'll see. So we're still in. Well, we're what, like halfway through this point?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that. You're listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Subscribe with Amazon Prime. Ding. Anyway, up next is the United States Championship, Logan Paul versus Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens. This one I feel like has run its course in terms of Logan having the title. I think, that, again, the division is competitive enough now. You have the depth to where you could have the U.S. title back on your shows and it would be fine. That being said, I don't really know between Randy or Kevin who I want to win more. Like, I think I want Kevin. But has Randy ever held the U.S. title? I swear he has. I know he held the IC.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he's held the U.S. Like, I feel like it's something that he could have it and he could carry it around and, you know, he could do Randy Orton things with the title. But I also don't know physically if he's going to be going on his summer break soon, because he's sort of like an unknown with that, because he was gone for so long and then he came back, but we all know Randy Orton doesn't work summers, but
that's old WWE. They're not working much anymore. You know what I mean? The house shows are limited now, so I don't think Randy's going anywhere for the summer. I think Randy will still be doing television at this stage, because he's on a limited date deal anyhow, so doing TV is very easy for him right now, because he's not working house shows as far as I know.
And he did hold the U.S. title one time.
Okay. I didn't remember he did or didn't.
I had to look it up.
I think this is Kevin's match to win. Logan Paul has had a nice... Logan Paul's been on TV more than I thought he would have been. Since winning the U.S. title. Has he defended a lot on television? No. But he's been on television, so he's been seen. I don't think he needs the belt any longer. I think him holding the belt and doing media and his podcast with it leading up to WrestleMania is good. I don't think he's gonna be around next couple months. I think he's gonna take off, just like Rock and Roman and stuff. I think he's gonna be off for a bit. I think Kevin would be a good choice to hold the U.S. title, be kind of the main workhorse of the brand for a little bit. I think he needs something to do. I think being U.S. champion as a babyface, because he hasn't had a babyface run as a champion, could be really good for him. I don't think Randy needs the belt. And, yeah, I'm going Kevin, because I think Logan Paul screws off for a little bit and comes back for SummerSlam in July, because I don't think he's going to need to make the overseas runs that they're going on here in the next couple months. So, yeah, I think Kevin wins this one. That's just my thoughts.
I will agree with that. I think Kevin needs it more than Randy or Logan. I think he can be the murder bear that we all love and, you know, cause chaos and destruction with the U.S. title and just have fun with it and just run around and be Kevin. Randy, while it would be cool for Randy having the title, at this point, Randy doesn't need anything. He doesn't need any titles. He doesn't need any more prestige. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's just chilling until he's done. So I would say, yeah, put it on Kevin. Let Logan fuck off and do whatever Logan's going to do. Let Randy be Randy and let Kevin just go nuts and have fun.
Yeah, I think Kevin as U.S. champ will be very entertaining.
So yeah, I'm going Kevin.
I'm going Kevin. 8-Ball, Logan Paul. 8-Ball says nope on that one. So we'll go back to that one in a second, but did we get a Wrestler 3?
Wrestler 2.
That's Randy. 8-Ball Kevin? Better not tell me. 8-Ball Randy? For 8-Ball, you gotta pick someone. So, Logan?
Oh, shit.
Says asking later. 8-Ball Kevin? Better not. 8-Ball Damian Priest? No. 8-Ball Randy Orton? Ask again later. 8-Ball Logan Paul. Better not tell me.
Dude!
8-Ball Kevin? Very doubtful. 8-Ball Randy? Too fast. 8-Ball Randy? It is CERN.
Hey, there we go. Quite indecisive. Alrighty. So in a Philadelphia street fight, which is that where they just throw cream cheese at each other? I'm not sure what that is.
No, it's just a Philadelphia street fight. Beer bottles and everything.
Dude, what if Gritty gets involved? Think about it, y'all. Think about it. Gritty. Gritty just running around with a kendo stick. It would be amazing.
I mean, it would be. There's also other people. Oh, no. Guess what? I can. You want to see shenanigans involved? And what would be a big moment on how you cost Logan Paul the United States Championship? You pull out somebody special to interfere.
Oh?
Hey, Jason Kelce.
You could pull out Jason Kelce.
Talk about a SportsCenter moment. Jason Kelce doing a move on Logan Paul.
What a match he could do that in.
I'm just saying. I could see them just doing a celebrity segment and then him coming in and doing a moment. So
I just want to see Gritty running around with like a chair or a kendo stick or something and just causing chaos.
Yeah.
I'm here for the drama.
And I know you're here for the drama.
I'm going to propose drama later too. Anyway.
I'm going Team Lashley. I got nothing. They've been building this slowly, but it's not. Phil Street Profits could be doing so much better and more different things than this. I don't like the act.
They were like talking about splitting the Profits apart and pushing Montez as a solo, and then they did this, and it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
To me, they're trying something, but it just doesn't have that grab, if that makes sense.
That said, this is going to be a chaotic brawl. This will be fun. This will be exciting. Lots of plunder. I'll call a shot here. I could see them using some ECW spots and maybe an ECW legend or two just sort of shows up and sort of smacks them with a kendo stick and causes fun and mayhem and excitement. I don't know. Just throwing things out there.
I will say this. I expect the Final Testament to have a pretty epic entrance.
It could. It really could. I'm going Lashley's team. That's kind of my feeling.
I don't have much to say on this other than Lashley and Profits. Let's do it.
8-Ball, give me an answer. Final Testament? This better not tell me. 8-Ball, we're going to have a talk here. Final Testament.
We're on a time frame.
Final Testament. No. Okay, at least they gave an answer.
Oh, thank God.
Wrestler 2.
Final Testament.
Okay. Up next, we have our WWE Women's Championship, Io Sky, taking on Bayley, the betrayal, the drama of Io and Bayley, where it's former teammates fighting each other. Bayley won the opportunity. You know, she won the Royal Rumble. Or wait, no. Bayley won the Rumble? Or was it Becky? Hold on. I have to remember. Hold on. Hold. Yes, she won the Rumble. Okay, all right, cool. There's so much. I get it confused. So she called her shot at Io. She's fighting Io for the title. This is interesting because Io, she's been a wonderful champion. You had Bayley who carried WWE in COVID. And since she lost the title after the COVID era, she's not really gotten near it. They've kept her away from it, which has been really smart. Because she held it for a while, you needed to keep her away from it, and now you're bringing her back in. For me personally, I love Io. I loved her as champion. I want to see Bayley win. I want to see them give Bayley her flowers. I want to see the babyface run with the title, and I want to see her carry SmackDown with the title. So I'm going Bayley.
Okay, before we get into all that, people of the internet, let's have a talk. Oh my God. The WWE stage for WrestleMania is so boring. It's so simple.
Did they drop the stage?
They did. They just did. It is spectacular. Once they light it up, holy crap.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Like, people were worried, oh, it's so basic. Yeah, because you're seeing pre-built stage without anything lit up. That looks fantastic. All lit up. I'm only looking at a screenshot.
Hold on. I'm fast-forwarding through the video. Hold on. Give me the stage.
Like, it's fantastic looking. That's just me. Anyway.
Double stack on the stage is cool.
Yeah.
Like the big XL? Yeah, that's neat. Like, right? What do y'all want?
First five, the first 16. The first 16 stages of WrestleMania were just the door. I know you're being generous, but it was 16. It took the WrestleMania 17 when they got to the big building in the Astrodome to build a set, and then every year since then they've been building sets like that. As far as stadium sets go,
that's clean as shit.
That's very clean, and
yeah, it's
really good.
I just want to say this to everybody, because I'm with Rock when everybody's like, oh my god, look at the set, it looks awful. They had just literally, like, that day, WWE dropped the tweet that said, we've started building the WrestleMania set, and they had pictures of it. And it was everything laid out and sitting on the ground, and they had just built the frame of where the ring was going to go under. And, like, the screens were sitting on the floor, and everybody's like, oh my god, that's so simple. It's like, dude, it's not even built yet. They have a whole week to build this bitch. Just, like, let them work. Let them put this together.
Newsflash. It's been raining here for 4 days while they're trying to build this, too. So, people
this
need
is,
to...
This is why...
They can't have nice things. But it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be fantastic for the rest of the weekend. So, a little cold.
It will be awesome.
Anyway, back to Io and Bayley. Yeah, as Lindsay mentioned, Bayley was the key in the pandemic. Her and Sasha kind of carried... And Bayley as a heel has been really good. Now it's Bayley's return as a babyface. And seeing how she kind of fits in that mode of now she's babyface, what will they do and kind of fit her in from there. Io's run's been good. Them using Dakota as the mouthpiece has been really good. The stuff they did where she got attacked at the PC was good. They've done everything they can in terms of, hey, here's the story we've been building. Here are all the characters involved. While Io's kind of been on the back burner, kind of with it, like in the background, she's still the women's champion and has been defending her title and whatnot. She's been good. Not a great champion because she's really good in the ring, but verbally she's a little bit a step behind. So, like, you can't have... They had to build this match differently, which is why you had the Dakota turn and all the attacks more rather than, you know, your straight up thing like we're talking about with Rhea and Becky here in a second, which is completely different. All that said, Bayley should win this. Bayley deserves it. And she just re-signed and this kind of like, hey, here's your flowers. Enjoy your moment. And I think that's where we're going. So I'm going Bayley.
Because has she won the title at Mania? I know Charlotte has. I know Becky has. I know Sasha
she
did.
She retained it. I think she was the one that retained that WrestleMania. WrestleMania 34? Question mark. Or no, I think it was an outdoor one. Wasn't it an outdoor one? I'm looking it up. Doesn't matter. I feel like she should get the big, like, if it's an outdoor one. Yeah, she needs her moment. Yeah, she retained over Charlotte, Nia, and Sasha at 33. That's 7 years ago. Give some good. This
yeah,
awesome,
she
give some go. This the flowers. Going Bayley. You're going Bayley, right?
Yeah, going Bayley.
Eight ball Bayley. All signs point to yes for that one. And where's my window with the wheel?
Wrestler one.
That would be Io Shirai. Io Sky.
Io Sky. Don't call her Shirai.
Oh, speaking of the tweet that Bayley showed, the DM she showed that they from like. March of 2022 or whatever, where it said Io Shirai, I was like, oh, she was plotting back then, which is cool. This form damage control. So, like, that was a nice little, like, underlying story thing that was really good. All right, we're in the home stretch, the final four matches, four of the biggest matches on the show. One of the hottest ones is the one we're about to talk about next.
Rhea Ripley, there we go, versus Becky Lynch.
The Women's World Championship.
This has been hot. This has been heavy. This has been physical. This has been everything you could ever want from a feud. It is the opposite, like you said, of Io and Bayley in terms of just physicality and just the story that they're telling, where Becky is, come hell or high water, going to win the title back from Rhea at WrestleMania. She's going to get her baby back. And Rhea is telling her no, and they are on a collision course. For that title, I honestly don't know who I want to win.
So, going into this, you would think, okay, Rhea the heel has been dominant for a year. It's time for someone to knock her off her throne. And then things kind of change, don't you think?
Just a little bit. She's super duper hot right now. She's kind of the face of WWE right now.
She is. Becky is really popular. She has the book, the best-selling author. We've read it a few weeks ago. Check it out. And it would be like the big WrestleMania moment. Becky beats Rhea and kind of wins the title. Then Becky revealed on this press tour she has 2 months left on her contract.
Yep. And she hasn't re-signed.
Yeah, but she... My
gut tells me she's going to.
She has no plans to go anywhere else. They just haven't put pen to paper. she says they haven't talked. I think they've talked. But I think But I think she knows what she wants. I think talked to Brent about this, and I think I mentioned it on WTR, but I don't remember. She's a mother with a child who is what, gonna be 3, 4? Yeah,
coming up on.
Gotta go to school. Can't go to school on the road. Can't be on the road every day. Gotta have some sort of stability there. I think Becky, the full-time run of the man is coming to an end. I think part-time Bex is going to be more of a thing in the next year or so. Not right away, but in the next year or so. So whatever contracts he signs, it's going to change it. Yeah, she's going to go Roman, TVs only, bigger events, which is fine. You need that type of person. And I don't think she will be Roman-esque in terms of, hey, here's 2-3 months where she's gone. I think it may not be an every week deal, or it might be every other event she's on and go from there. Because she deserves it. She's 35, 36. She's a mother. You got to know when to not put your child on the road. But that said, I also look at Rhea's wrist. She mentioned is kind of jacked up at this point. And she's wearing a cast on it, an air cast. So do they take the belt off of her so she can get it looked at a little bit? That's another possibility that we have on our hands. So there's that. This should be one of the best matches on the show. I expected it to open night one. I'd be surprised if it didn't, because I want to keep it away from the main event as much as possible. But it's WWE, so it could be 3rd, 4th from the show match at the end. It doesn't really matter where they put it. It'll be really fantastic. I think Rhea wins. That's my feeling.
At this stage in WWE, with everything that's going on, Becky has nothing left to prove. She's won titles. She's held titles. She's won Royal Rumbles. She's won at WrestleMania. She's been on top of the company. She's been the face of the company. She's been on the posters and the t-shirts and the advertising and all the things. She's literally done everything. Okay. Mm-hmm. She's done all the things, right? Everything. There's nothing left for her to prove. There's nothing left for her to do. Her winning the title would be a really nice moment, but it kind of goes back to talking about what we were saying with Sami Zayn. It's a moment and a night of moments, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you really need to do it here? Do you really need to have it here? Or can you have Rhea retain? But Becky messes her up a little bit, because that wrist can come into play, right? Becky can use that wrist to her advantage, and maybe she can hurt Rhea a little bit, and maybe they can go again, and maybe she can get her title somewhere else. Or maybe she doesn't. It's just kind of depending on what they're looking at and what they're doing. With Becky not having signed yet, that gives me a little bit of hesitancy. I have every confidence that she will re-sign. But in the event that she doesn't and she decides, hey, I want to go home and be a mom for a while and maybe I will come back later, nobody would blame her, right? Because when she had Rue, she pushed to come back. Like, she pushed really hard to come back fairly quickly from having her daughter, to get back out there, to get back on that main event scene, to keep doing what she was doing and also be a wonderful mother. And do both. And maybe now she's like, hey, you know what? I'm going to go chill with my kid for a while, if y'all don't mind. Or maybe she's like, I want the part-time schedule. I want the Roman schedule. I've earned the Roman schedule. And everyone can say that she has earned that schedule. Because there are plenty of women on that roster right now. There are plenty of women in NXT who could benefit from Becky's spot. Like, you have her come and go as she needs to. You bring her in for special occasions. But beyond that, you kind of sort of begin to move her into that Roman spot or into that more special attraction spot, and you give somebody else a chance to shine. So I can absolutely see them doing that. I see, even though she's been champion for a year and I said that they need to shift some of the titles, I see no reason to move the title off of Rhea right now. She's red hot. While I don't think losing the title will necessarily kill her momentum, it's not a good look for her. When you've got her so just on point with everything. Like, she's an attraction. Everybody wants to see her. Everybody wants to talk to her. Everybody wants to meet her. You know, people are taking pictures and videos and everything else of her. Like, she is a star in every sense of the word.
Yeah.
And I just feel like she just needs to retain here. You can always have her drop later if you need to, but, like, in terms of the wrist, it depends on how bad it is. But maybe you have Becky injure her a little bit. Maybe she just has to go away for like a month or 6 weeks.
And there's always the night after WrestleMania, the Raw after Mania. Guess what? She could drop her belt there in a surprising fashion. Doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be to Becky.
does so not have to be to Becky. And like I said, Money in the Bank is coming.
Rhea could be so Rhea could be so confident, and you know, after being Becky, and then show up Monday going like, I beat Becky Lynch, and Mommy's still on top. What's next? And then you have someone surprising come out and beat her. Someone from NXT, some free agent. Who knows? Either way, yeah, you could do whatever. So yeah, I'm going Rhea. You're going Rhea?
I'm going Rhea.
8-Ball Rhea. Ask again.
Come on, 8-Ball. Do your job.
Wheel.
Wrestler 1.
Rhea. 8-Ball Becky. Says ask again. 8-Ball Rhea. 8-Ball. Rhea. 8-Ball. Becky. It is CERN. Okay, so the last three matches kind of all intertwine, which is why I want to talk all about them together. Because they have players in all these matches, and whatever happens night one with one can play a part in the other two title matches. So the collection is the following. It's Cody and Seth Rollins versus The Rock and Roman Reigns to determine what the stipulation for night two in the undisputed WWE Universal Championship match Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes will be, and also leads to the question what kind of condition Seth Rollins will be when he defends his World Heavyweight Championship against Drew McIntyre.
Has Seth resigned?
He still has time on his contract. Okay. Has Drew resigned? Because he's the other one.
Nobody knows.
Drew's probably quicker on the up and coming contract than Seth is. They're both kind of in the same spot. The build to all this and how they've intertwined it all has been beyond fantastic. You have had Cody kind of be like, I'm going to give my story up, and then The Rock comes to give The Rock, and then he's like, screw The Rock. And then the final boss became a thing, which is overtaking WWE. And the amount of stuff The Rock has done in this build-up.
Oh, it's been surprising. I think a lot of people were not expecting him to do what he's done.
Him, a lot of people criticize him, his language and stuff. But guess what? He's The Rock. He can do whatever the hell he wants and get away with it because he is The Rock. And that's the way it should be.
Okay, you know what, y'all? Nobody should be talking about his language because y'all have been wanting this for years. All you do is bitch about PGWWE. And now you get language and you're complaining?
Because they want
to. I know it's because you feel it's not fair and balanced, but don't complain.
Yeah, and him getting physical as much as he can and he did there was an article on ESPN I read today where he's been training, and the bulk of his training has been for moments and big spots and stuff like that, rather than, you know, the normal, you know, headlock takers and whatever. He's going for spots, which is the way it should be. He's 50 something years old and he's an action star, so big dramatic spots is what The Rock should be doing in this match, in the tag match. And the promos have been great. He's been the focus of television. He's been there just about every week on this build. He made a surprise appearance on Raw one week. He's been there a majority of the time, which if you told me on day one, hold up your finger, that he was going to be here every single week since Elimination Chamber, having this type of thing, I would be like, no. He'll be every the other week. But there was a time he was there for 3 weeks in a row on SmackDown. He showed up on a Raw unannounced. He was promoted for Brooklyn. He showed up last week. Boom. Maybe he missed 1 week. I don't know. But he's been there a majority of the time. Guess what? That's fantastic. He's been a fantastic addition to the television show. Roman Reigns has been pretty solid. He is your undisputed Universal Champion. Him and Cody are finally going to collide and finish the story. Seth Rollins got involved in the press conference, which was something completely different than you're not used to seeing. Like, the big angle happened not on Raw and not on SmackDown. It happened at a kickoff event and became the focus. Like, them calling it a kickoff, and it was just a generic, you know, thing, and everyone's hyping up their matches, and it became a big angle. And then you got these vignettes of, like, action movie things with them all face-to-face. Ooh, that was really good. And then there's Drew McIntyre, who's just been in the background somewhat, and kind of just killing it in his role. Being snarky internet troll, in some ways. The savior of WrestleMania, because him injuring CM Punk gave us everything we wanted. So it's sort of like everything is coming together. But the tag match, I think, is going to be like the key in all this.
Oh, the tag match is absolutely the key. I think what's been really... Sorry, go ahead.
No, continue.
I think what's been really wonderful about this whole build is how it's breathed new life into specific characters and into specific feuds. The Rock coming in and being the final boss and having Roman take a step back and kind of follow The Rock's lead has breathed new life into the Bloodline. It's reinvigorated it. It's made it interesting again. Because you have The Rock out there doing Rock things, and you're kind of questioning what The Rock is up to, because he hasn't necessarily fully acknowledged the Tribal Chief. It seems like he's playing his part very, very, very well right now. And it kind of leads to the questions of, is Roman being deceived? Could the final boss have other plans that don't involve Roman? That's the million-dollar question there. And then we have Drew. Drew, who is out here living his best villain life, who has taken the ball that they handed him and has run with it for months. And it has been some of the best TV and possibly some of the best Drew McIntyre we have had since he came back. Like, he won the title, like, don't get me wrong, him winning the title, him carrying the company, great. But after he lost that title, he's just sort of been lost. And he's kind of sort of been up and down and up and down and up and down, and they kind of don't know what to do with it, right? Because he's perfectly credible. He's a great talent. He's all the things. But for them, he's a great talent in a sea of great talent. And he's kind of gone on the back burner a little bit too often. They brought him up. It featured him in some feuds. He had some great matches with Seth Rollins. He had the match at Clash at the Castle. He had the match last year at WrestleMania. Like, he's proven he is a solid guy for them to have. He's a great talent for them to have, but he's always been on the cusp, and it's kind of, he's always been the bridesmaid and never the bride situation.
Yeah.
I feel like for Drew, because I want to talk about Drew, if he does not win, he's DOA. He needs this really, 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 really hard. And I don't know if this is something that Punk is going to screw him, because it's the only way you can get away with him losing is if Punk screws him in his match. But I feel like even then, that's sort of anticlimactic, because it's what the shot is Drew McIntyre defeating Seth Rollins, because again, Seth's physical condition is a question. You have him beat Seth, and he's standing over Seth holding the title in Punk's face. Right? And there's nothing Punk can do, because Punk can't get physical in theory. So you have Drew beat Seth for the title, and he's just taunting Punk, and you're building that feud and building that feud and building that feud until Punk is ready to go. And you have Drew continue to be the best heel that he can be. The tag match is going to be clutch.
Can I interject something really quick?
Sure. Go ahead.
A briefcase can also interfere in the Drew McIntyre Seth Rollins match. A briefcase could change, like, one of them can win, Seth could win, and then Drew and Damian would cash in.
Okay, so I was going to get to that, because here's where I want to burn the internet down, because I just want to see it go into a rage, because drama. So somebody's trying to finish their story, right? There's a briefcase in play. Yes. You know what would be awesome and would be hilarious, and I would just love so much to bits and pieces, is if, in theory, Damian Seths it, or he Sheamuses it. One of my favorite endings I've ever seen was at Survivor Series a few years ago, where they had Roman win his first title, and then immediately Sheamus came down, kicked him in the face, cashed in Money in the Bank, and won the title, and left in a sea of confetti with Roman's championship.
Wasn't his first, but yeah, it was a title.
But yeah, or it was like his first or his second, but he held the title for maybe 5 seconds.
Yeah, that was good.
Maybe a minute. I want that to happen here.
Oh, very much could. And I think that's the wild card, and they kind of they've been revamping up the teases, and I think people are going to be very much aware of that.
But just picture it, right? Cody, because here's the thing. Cody finishes the story. He wins the title at WrestleMania, and there's always kind of that backup plan, right? Because everybody's sort of in everybody's business. And things are going on, and Damian Priest sees his opportunity, right?
Mm-hmm.
He sees the opening. Roman's beat down. Cody's beat down. You've had all the shenanigans. And maybe The Rock's like, you know what? I don't want Cody Rhodes as my SmackDown champion. I want a corporate champion. You have Damian Priest run down. He cashes in on Cody Rhodes. And the best part of the whole thing is that he takes that title to SmackDown and Cody can't chase it. He can't go after it. And now he has to turn around and he has to look at Drew. And Drew's like, let's go. I want it. I want it so.
Damien.
So hard.
Damien, not Drew.
No, because Damien would go to SmackDown. Cody stays on Raw and Drew's your champion.
Okay. I mean, that is world burning. That is chaos.
I want it so hard.
They're not going to do it because you got to pay off. Why? Because you got to pay off the.
But you do pay it off. He wins the title. He finishes the story, and then he gets fucked by The Rock.
Yeah, but as much as I'm for the chaos, I want to finish the story and be done with the story and not hear it again. I want to see where they go because now they have the time, and they gotta kind of put it in gear and see where we're at. So for this time, I'm anti-chaos on that, just because it needs to end and be finished. The story needs to officially be finished. And new stories have to be told because you got to wrap it up. And Cody needs to be the face. He needs to be face of WWE. He's becoming it. He does everything but has the title. So giving him the title, which he says he'll change to the WWE Championship. So no Uwu. Uwu goes away.
We'll always be Uwu in our hearts.
No, it won't. And it all plays into the night one. We'll now circle back to night one of... The big tag match, and if The Rock and Roman win, chaos breaks loose on night two. I could see them being like, you know, we're going to have this match, and then Cody and Seth win, and that means there's no interference in the title match. But we've seen that. We've seen that match with limited interference. Imagine the chaos you can cause in a no-holds-barred WWE Championship match at the end of WrestleMania.
Well, just to kind of throw this out there, there's a rumor of swirling because a certain someone who just happens to be from New Jersey, and I think lives there, came out of Twitter dormancy to take a shot at The Rock regarding a specific painting who I believe was painted by his ex and also happens to be a friend of one Cody Rhodes.
It's no, he signed to AEW.
Are we sure?
Yes.
How sure are you?
99.9.
I'm just saying. Rumors are swirling. He could show up. They're in the neighborhood.
He's from Long Island, so it's a little further away than you think.
There's planes. He could hop a plane at LaGuardia and come on in.
I get it. MJF not gonna be there. But they foreshadowed the truck. We talked about it. Stone Cold, John Cena. Couldn't get involved, and having Stone Cold deliver one more stunner to The Rock would be amazing. Having Jay come back and interfere, and Jimmy getting involved, and John Cena taking out Solo to pick up on that story and kind of send the bloodline packing, and you could have a lot of chaos involved. It could be the most ridiculous of ridiculous matches in the history of WrestleMania. And for spectacle of spectacles on this, the biggest show of them all, I think you got to go all out. Dusty finishes, run-ins, you name it. Shenanigans abound. Make it the wildest match you've ever seen. Because if you're going to end 1,300-something days as champion, go out with the biggest bang you can go out with.
Close there's going to be massive levels of fuckery in this. Massive levels.
That is if Cody and Seth lose on night one. You go crazy, you go wild, you make it a spectacle. That way, all the story, that chapter of the book, or that book is closed, because now you pack the bloodline away, Jimmy and Solo have to figure out what to do with their lives, because Roman's going away, the final boss has to figure his stuff out, because he's going away. It's gonna be a lot of fun. You mentioned how with the Dwayne stuff and the pointing of the finger, but he's also pointing at Roman, and people thought, oh, it's a pointing of the gun. And Pat McAfee brought it up to, once Pat McAfee brought it up on his show, it's like, yeah, they're not going to go into the action because they already told, they're telling you this means nothing. I think, and I mentioned this the other day, there's a lot of legs to the final boss left. I think.
Oh yeah, a ton.
I think if the original idea was a quick, easy, hey, turning heel to turn face was a plan, I don't think it is anymore because they've developed this thing, this final boss thing, where you can have money for it for a long time. Even if The Rock's gone for 7 months, it comes back next in the fall to do a promo here and there, because Rock and Cody could be a match.
Which Rock is rumored.
Rock and Roman eventually then could be a match. You build out Final Boss, where the Final Boss takes out Roman at the end to kind of like kill the bloodline, leading to a WrestleMania match. You got legs. But you don't do the turn here because it's too soon, if that's the direction. Because there's too much time in the way. It's like, because they've done a Rock build up for 1 year, but the Rock was gone 90% of the year. Rock's going to be gone, but the Rock can always, you know, chime in. He could chime in. We've seen he's social media happy with the Final Boss. He's loving it.
Yeah, the thing is, you can always have him cut a promo on Twitter. They can record stuff with him or, you know, whatever. Whenever you need to, he can be on set.
Yeah, you're going to still see aspects of the Final Boss over time. Not often, but once in a while, we're going to get a Final Boss.
And when you need it.
When you need it. And you can use him to your advantage. And I think depending on how he feels after this will depend on whatever he does later. All of that said, because there's so much there. There's so much that we've unpacked with it. But outcomes.
And there's more to unpack.
Like what?
No, I'm just saying, like, the one way that you could do the tag match where Cody and Seth managed to win is that basically Roman, either Solo or Roman, costs them the match. I can see Solo or Jimmy and Solo or Jimmy, and that's the beginning of the splintering of the bloodline, and they get drummed out of the bloodline. Or Roman loses the match, gets pinned, and The Rock, because you know Rock isn't eating a pin, so it's like Roman gets pinned, and Dwayne's like, the fuck? You were supposed to win that. And Roman kind of gets a taste of his own medicine, mm-hmm. where he begins to get his comeuppance and how he's treated everybody else. Dwayne just turns around and he's like, no, you were supposed to win that match for us, and you failed, oh tribal chief. And that can lead to tension, or that could lead to Dwayne basically being like, Dwayne and Solo and Jimmy being like, you're really not deserving of this. And that can be the beginning of the end. And maybe they cost Roman at WrestleMania. You know, maybe they cost him that later that night or the next night somehow.
It's going to be crazy. But I think we need to pick winners. Let's start with this tag match. Cody and Seth versus The Rock and Roman Reigns. I'm putting on my finger bloodline win.
I have to go with the bloodline just because it's more fun.
Yeah, it makes night two a Rocky story. They make it a Rocky story, underdog story for Cody in Philly.
The thing is like it depends on which match goes first. Cody and Seth and the bloodline, or Seth and Drew. Because that will determine how good to go Seth is for either match. Like, Seth's got a downside.
Wait. Repeat that? What do you think? What are you trying to figure out?
Like, because both the tag match and Seth's match are night one, right?
No.
No?
No. Cody and Seth versus Rock and Roman is the main event of night one. Seth Rollins and Drew and Roman and Cody are night two.
Okay. But that still determines something, because Seth's got to go on the main event and Cody's got to go on the main event. And so do Rock and Roman. But for Seth especially, because he's Seth and he's got back problems, that will impact his match with Drew the next night.
Right. That's why why I want to talk all three together. Everything happens on night one, focuses on night two. But no, the match order is Cody and Seth versus The Rock and Roman night one. The two title matches, in theory, should bookend night two.
Oh, yeah.
World title opens, universal title closes the show. So we're going bloodline night one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Eight ball bloodline. Is that it's WrestleMania. Then the eight ball is just on something. Wheel.
It's on adrenaline and it's soul.
Soul and pick the wheel picked Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes. Eight ball, Cody and Seth. Yes. Okay. Fantastic. Now, World Heavyweight title, Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre. Cash ins, whatever. Just a straight match, Seth or Drew?
I'm going Drew.
Drew. That was a hard one. Eight ball? No, because I can also see Seth winning with the Punk interference. I could see that happening. But I'm
here for the drama.
I'm here for, I think Seth's run is, you need, again, this goes back to why I think Sammy's losing. Drew winning is another reason for that. In a night of moment, a weekend of moments, Drew winning would be bigger than without Shining based on everything. Anyway, 8-ball, Seth. Outlook good. Wheel.
Wrestler 1.
Seth. So there you go. Now, the story. Is it finish? Roman, Cody, Universal WWE Championship. Who wins?
Cody's going to finish the story. But I still want the drama.
Cody finish the story? 8-Ball, does Cody finish the story?
It says ask again later. This is the most difficult the 8-Ball's ever been.
It's being temperamental tonight. Jesus.
Wrestler 1 for the wheel. So the wheel has acknowledged the tribal chief. 8-Ball, do you acknowledge your tribal chief? All signs point to yes for acknowledging tribal chief.
There you go.
And that is WrestleMania preview.
It is WrestleMania preview.
All right. Let's talk about it, chat. Night 1 of WrestleMania should end about 11:30. And while you all might go flip over to Collision and go watch some great taped action, we will be live, or I'll be live, with a cast of characters on CB Radio that is not typically CB Radio talking WrestleMania Night 1. I've invited Casey and I've invited Tim to join myself and Brent to come talk about Night 1. Which then means on Night 2, the four of us will just do Wrestle Talk Radio and review it all for Night 2 following that show. So those are our WrestleMania post-show plans. Speaking of
out of town.
I was getting to that. Whatever you see on Night 1, you come and talk about. Just let me know, Keish. You're invited to be there for whatever you see. Speaking of the post-show, Monday. I'm riding solo because Lindsay's going to be out of town. But we have to do a post-show following the night after WrestleMania. Because stuff is going to happen. So I'll be there to talk about the highs and lows on Night 1 with y'all at 11 p.m. Eastern on Monday night. What we're doing next Thursday depends on how Lindsay feels and what she's seen. She kind of wants to talk about it, but if she doesn't, we'll talk about it in 2 weeks from tonight on The Rack at 10 p.m. Eastern. Stick to social media to find out what we're actually doing because it's up in the air. It all depends on what she sees while she's out of town. So, Lindsay will have her say. Just may be very delayed. So, we'll figure that all out. That being said, you can follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. It's Rack Radio Show and all social media platforms wherever you get your podcast to search the Rack Radio Show. Chat if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangle button below the screen. And you also use creator code ROCKSOCK or
Lin's M Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lin's Ward, LNSWD. Me out on Twitch. twitch.tv/Lin's Ward, and you can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@SimmaLin's Ward, and you can follow me on TikTok, Lin's Ward Zero. Oh, right, this is my show. I close my show.
This is your bit.
This is my bit, right. Sorry, it's late. I need to go to bed. It's my bedtime. So, this is me and Rock wishing you a very WrestleMania. I hope, or I should say, we hope you guys enjoy, we hope you have fun, we hope all your wishes come true, and all the matches are spectacular, and you have maximum enjoyment of it. If you don't, I'm sorry, but please don't be a negative Nancy, give everything a chance, but, you know, internet be internet. But with that, we're gonna go. So, he's Rock, I'm Lindsay, you've been listening to The Rack right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we will see you on Thursday for something. Till then, bye! Just wrap my body in these sheets and pour out the gasoline. It don't mean much to me. It's Friday, I'm a nihilist. I know there's nothing after this. WildTalkRadio.com